everyone, you can sit down. How are you all going? That's good. I'm good too. I'm so nervous. So Lizzie was excellent, and she let us know ages and ages ago that we were going to be doing this, and me being me was struggling for so long. Going, oh God, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to do? How is this going to work? What am I supposed to say? And you know, I should have been listening, because for weeks and weeks and weeks, God's been saying, I want to command a blessing. I'm going to command a blessing. Come on, come on, come on. And it's like, so I was driving home about 3 days ago. My hands were on the steering wheel. I was looking down. I should have been looking up. I was driving. Don't tell my mum. But I was going, come on, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he goes, I want to command a blessing. It's like, okay. So Psalm 133 says, how wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down the head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon, flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that is where God commands the blessing, ordains eternal life. So that was pretty cool. And it says, how wonderful and beautiful, not all of the wonderful, beautiful people. So that means everybody. It would mean everybody anyway, but I just think it's really, really important. We've been blessed from the very, very, very start, but we can't step into that blessing until we get along with our brothers and sisters and, you know, step into unity, even if our brothers and sisters stink. But anyway, sorry, Jack. but if you reside and live in love, then you reside in God and heaven. So I'm just going to pray here before I say anything else. It'd be silly. But God, I thank you so much that you've brought everyone in the house tonight to listen to me speak about what you've put in my heart. And I pray that everyone gets something out of this word and that we all are able to step out as brothers and sisters in unity and love each other like you love us. And I just pray that people are changed tonight. Amen. Awesome. So high school, oh boo, particularly the last couple of years was really, really hard for me. And I could probably pinpoint it to a couple of different reasons. But ultimately, I'd say that a large factor of that was that I had a falling out with all my friends, and I was very lonely, and I spent a lot of time by myself. And every time I reflect on my years in high school, I think about how much more enjoyable it would have been if I had people around me. And ultimately, it would have been up to me to surround myself with people, but I did not. I sat in the library most days. But you know, what more could I have learnt or imparted in people's lives if I had just stopped being so down on myself and surrounding myself with people? You know, my thoughts and my prayers were never, oh God, I thank you so much for the people in my school, and I thank you for the honour it is to be able to go to school at this place and get the education I have. It was, God, where are you in my situation? How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this situation? Which is a bit silly, because I could have just done it, you know, by being united with my peers, but I wasn't. And that's it. Like, my brother Jack, I don't know if you know him, he's my best friend in the whole world. And, you know, we get along heaps and heaps and heaps, and I would say that we're like this. But he's my brother, and we argue so much. And when we are not united, when we are apart and things are really hard, it's not just hard for me to be at home and to talk to him. Everything is hard. I can't step into the blessing that God has called me to when I don't get along with my brother. And if he's my brother in the flesh, then how am I supposed to get along with my brothers and sisters who are not, if I can't even do that? But my point is, and I'm almost done already, see, I don't know how to time myself. Unity is a gift from God, and we can't make it happen without him. We need to be like Jesus and strive to know the Lord to be able to keep the unity, be peaceful, loving, forgiving, and apologetic. We can't step out into the world being unchanged by God and expect everyone to love us. We need to be transformed by him in order to live a unified life. And then we're able to step into the blessing, the promise of life forever, where everyone is unified and found in Christ, where we can worship, praise, fellowship forevermore. And that's just, I don't know, it was really quick, sorry, but that's what I've got for everyone. And that's what God's put in my life to not just connect with people that come along to youth on a Friday night, and not just connect with people in my workplace or connect with people that come on a Sunday service, but to go out and meet my brothers and sisters and be united and love them like Jesus loves me. So I'm going to pray again before I wrap up. That was so quick. But I mean, all it takes is one small word for people to go home and be changed, and for people to, yeah, I don't know. But God, I thank you so much for everything that you just poured out of me so quickly. And I pray that as Jack steps up and he begins to speak into what you've put in his life, that that he feels confident and that he speaks every word that you've put in him. And God, I pray that as the rest of the night goes on, that people continue to hear from you. Amen. Amen. That's me done.
Hello. Give her another round of applause for Jamie. That was really cool. Good for a first time, that's for sure. Let me just open this up real quick. Man, it's weird being up here. I'm usually behind there. So it feels, yeah. I've never actually stood in front of a lectern before, so that's weird. So I'm up here and I'm going to talk about gifts, if that's okay with everyone here. So I'm going to speak out of 1 Timothy 4:14 to 17. I'm going to read it out. Bit of a tongue twister, so bear with me for a second, because it might get me a hot minute to get out, but we'll see how we go. Let's just remember Moses stuttered, so it's okay if I do. Do not neglect the gift you have, which were given to you by the prophecy when the council of elders laid hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close eye on yourself, hello, and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So I read that about 2 weeks ago, and I was like, okay. Feeling a little bit under the pressure here. Sorry, forgive me, I'm kind of just reading off this, I'm not really looking up, but yeah, okay, thank you. I know my dad has always been that type of person to push me to do things, just like develop myself, like in my gifts. Yeah, I just like he bought me my first drum kit for I think it was $40 or something, and you know he's been by my side, buying you know all the way up to my now $600 kit. So go me, I got a little bit more to go, but I want to say that everyone here does have a gift. I know that might be a little bit like no, I don't, but like. You know, gifts can come in many shapes and forms. Like, it can be practical, like playing drums, or it can be public speaking. It can even just be, like, being able to smile when you're sad. Like, yeah. So my first point is don't neglect the gift you have. So, yeah, God has given everybody in this room a gift. Now, hopefully everyone in this room has found theirs. And if you haven't, don't even worry. Like, You might even have it, and you just don't realize. It's just one of those things, I guess. I don't know really what I'm talking about. It just means that you haven't found your time, and it will come. I promise you. Even if it doesn't matter if you're 4 or you're 144. I mean, I don't think anyone in this room is 144. I'd be very impressed. But yeah, my first point is don't neglect the gift you have. Let's go over to my second point over here. Use your gifts to worship. I have recently this year have learnt to be not selfish with my gift. I love to use my gift of hitting things hard and making them sound all right to worship God whenever I can. So... I've got this whole thing here, but I reckon I'll just summarize it. Don't use your gifts to fuel your ego. I think if God was so gracious and loving to give you a gift and you just use it for yourself, what good is that? Like, you know, it's kind of defeats the whole purpose of, you know, having a gift. And if you have more than one gift, that's so cool. Like, how lucky are you? And it's great because that means you just have more than one way to, you know, worship on a Sunday or in your bedroom, you know. Even if it's like just writing, like, you know, you can just do it everywhere. Like, you can praise God in your school. You can praise God, you know, just, you know, in your soccer clubs or anywhere, really. Like, it's just cool. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of the thing that I think about a lot. I like to think that gifts are just a miracle, really. Like, so I'm going to skip over to my third point, just real quick. I'm almost done as well. Short but sweet. My third point, I struggled really hard to think of a point name for this. So I'm just going to say salvation tactics with a question mark. What I mean by that is in the scripture, it says, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And that just basically means not only are you worshipping and praising God by yourself, but you're also leading others to the Lord by, you know, using your gifts and openly showing that it was God who gave you the gift. So if you follow the other two points, this third point, if you don't follow the other two points, this third point just becomes irrelevant. So if you use your gifts, say on a Sunday, I'm just going to use drumming a lot because that's just what I, you know, it's what I do. It's my shtick. You're going to show people that it's okay to worship and use that. And even people will look up to you. You may feel uncomfortable hearing that, but no matter what you do, there is always someone looking up to you. Even if you feel like the little guy, there's a littler guy. Yeah, and it keeps this, you know, like what Qui-Gon says, there's always a bigger fish. But yeah, that's all I... thank you. Yeah. Bit of a nerd up here, you know. Try to hide it, but, you know, it always finds its way out. But yeah, that's all I really have to say. So I'm just going to rehash what I said. So the main point here that I really want you guys to remember is that use your gift to worship. If the three points that I've said, if any of them should stick out, it's that one. Because God has given you a tool to worship him, so just use it. Just do it. don't always mull over it. But yeah, so the first one, do not neglect the gift that you have. Number two, use your gift to worship. And three, salvation tactics. So, question mark. Important. But yeah, thanks for listening to me. That's all I have to say. But yeah, thank you.